Familia, we got a special treat for you today. Very dear friend of mine, Polo Asensio, is joining us for a quick interview. Polo is La Voz de los Cardenales, the St. Louis Cardinals. I've had the pleasure of seeing his journey rise up in baseball broadcasting. And I got to tell you, it's been a special treat watching this guy's star rise. Polo, bienvenido, welcome. Un placer.
You know, Jorge, you already messed up, Papi. Because, you know, if you guys don't know, we call Jorge Papi, and I'm pretty sure that we get into that eventually. You started by saying a quick interview. You know that when you talk to me, there's nothing quick. You know, we could be here for hours and hours and hours. This esta va a ser como una pinche novela. It's not gonna be one episode. It's gonna be the whole series, bro. So whatever you guys have going on, sit back, relax, agárrense, you know, get some churritos, some popcorn, and some pepino con tajín, and enjoy, relax. And hey, it's always fun to talk to you, Jorge. I remember the first time I talked to you back in what it was, 2006, perhaps. And it's been a ride for yours truly. I know that you also have a. Your ride has been going up and down. But hey, that's life. If I don't think anybody can say that their life has been up and up and up and up. If your life has been up and up since you were born, then you're missing out. You are missing out the struggles, because there's nothing more satisfying than struggling and then coming out of that struggle on top and enjoy those the fruits of victory, like Kirk Gibson used to say back in 1988.
Oh, what a great one. All right, Poppy. Yeah, I'll throw that out there. I'll throw the first Poppy out there to you. For those of you, I was very famous around the Dodger front office for calling everybody Poppy, because all the Dominican players would call each other and me and us Poppy, for especially those of us who spoke Spanish with them. So and Polo was the one who started the joke of whenever I said Poppy, people would yell. What would they yell?
No, whenever Jorge said Papi, and we were during spring training, that we will put it down and okay, Jorge said Papi 5 times today, we get 5 shots as soon as we get to a bar. So yeah, we got a lot of tequilas down because of Papi Martin.
Oh man. Well, Polo, you mentioned that first phone conversation. That was that was a very special one. You recounted it to me a few months ago when we were at the Harim Foundation golf tournament. Tell us about that phone conversation and where you were when you called me when I was just starting losdodgers.com.
Yeah, when I called you, I am pretty sure I was in my house. It was a morning, because in the evenings I used to work as a custodian from 3 to 11:30 at night. I cleaned offices here in Santa Barbara, California, where I still live. And at that point, I was writing for a website based in Mexico City. Ya no está, they don't exist anymore. It was called thepelota.com. A friend of mine by the name of Chris Rhodes, he still works at the county office. He is, you know, he's one of those guys that he buys the LA Times every single day for years, and he saves them. I don't know why, but if you go to his house, I mean, I talk to him still, and I'm like, hey, dude, do you still save the LA Times? He's like, oh yeah, I have years of LA Times in the freaking garage. I don't know why, again. And he told me, you know, one evening when I was working, I used to clean his office, and the love of baseball, you know, baseball has marked my life and my family's life since before I was born. We will always talk baseball. We always talk Dodgers, 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 and then everything else. And he calls me one day, and he said, hey, Polo, I read in the LA Times that the Dodgers are starting a Spanish website. I'm like, really? Spanish website? Oh, that's pretty cool. And then he said, hey, why don't you try to write for them? And I'm like, look, bro, besides the Dodgers, I'm a custodian. I'm not a writer. I love the game of baseball, and I write what I think of. And, you know, I've been doing it for this website in Mexico, but this is the Dodgers, man. This is literal, como dicen en Mexico. This is the big leagues, bro. And then he said, what are you going to lose if they say no? And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, what am I going to lose if they say no? So I called 323-224 something. I don't remember the last four digits, or as the great Ross Porter used to say back in the 80s, 323-224, one hit, call for your tickets right now. So I called that number, and the lady answers the phone. And all I said, hey, my name is Polo Asensio. I am looking for the person in charge of the website. And I think that's what I said, in charge of the website. And then he's like, oh, you mean the director of publications? I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy, yeah. He's like, oh, Jorge Martin. I'm like, yeah, Jorge, that guy. I'm like, who the hell is Jorge Martin? So I called. You answered, and which, you know, nowadays it's weird. It's kind of interesting when somebody answers when somebody calls. Nowadays it's all text, but back then, he answered, and I told him what I have seen, and I asked for a chance. And Jorge said, all right, well, we already have people writing for us. And then I said, yeah, but you know, you have two people there. Why not a third one? Might as well give it a shot. And Jorge said, all right, okay, well, send me something. And then I remember I sent him something. And obviously, it was the first time that I did something that big, and that I actually was, I was talking to somebody who was going to edit my articles or whatever that I didn't know that existed. So I sent them the first article. It was a long one. It was about the, I remember clearly, it was about the remodelation of Dodger Stadium, the first one back in 2005, 2006, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I go crazy. I remember even mentioning Nancy B and the organ and the, I'm like, yeah, this is great. It was like a freaking, era como una película, man. It was long and beautiful, according to me. Well, I sent it to Jorge. And then the reply from the email, I'm pretty sure if I look for it, probably still have it. The reply was like, you know what? That's too long. That's something that I don't know. I don't find it appealing, but thank you so much for trying and appreciate it. And go Dodgers. I'm like, ah, pinche vato gacho, man. You know, I'm like, órale. Ni modo, dije yo, what's going to happen? Pues ya me dijeron que no. So that was my first interaction with Jorge Martin. A call, an email, a rejection, and then I send my greetings to Jorge's mom, but not in a good way. So that's how we met, bro. That's how we met, Papi. That's exactly how we met.
But you kept going, and that was the important part.
I kept going. I kept going, doing my thing. The first WBC in 2006 happened. And at that point, when I was cleaning offices, I was also part of a radio show that I basically bullied my way into that radio show the same way I was trying to bully my way into being a writer for the Dodgers, for losdodgers.com. Calling the radio show in Spanish, calling the radio show until one day the guy said, hey, when you're done, I don't want you to hang up. I want to talk to you. I'm like, okay, ya me van a correr. They're going to tell me, hey, stop calling us. We don't want to talk about baseball. We don't want to talk about basketball. This is a Spanish show. All we want to do is talk about soccer and some boxing. And that's that. And no, to my surprise, the guy said, look, we want to, you know, if you want to do this, instead of being a caller, now you can be a real reporter, a contributor, un chismoso que se meta aquí en el show. And now we're going to go to you. We're going to call you and say, hey, we're going to talk about el segmento, los deportes más populares en Estados Unidos. I remember I came up with that great name for my segment, los deportes más populares en Estados Unidos. So I was all happy. Remember, I was a custodian. So what I did, I used to hide in some offices, a phone number, grab a phone. And while I was supposed to be vacuuming and cleaning toilets, I was calling the radio show and doing my thing. So as part of that radio show, I took it upon myself to request for credentials to MLB for the very first World Baseball Classic of baseball, the inaugural baseball classic. And I basically made up a bunch of stuff. I was making up stuff of places and situations that did exist. So I was not lying. I was just, again, forcing my way into a situation. So to make the long story short, they replied and they said, yes, you got it. You got in. So there I am. I got my credentials for the World Baseball Classic. I went to Arizona, San Diego, and Anaheim. And I remember in Arizona, I had a chance to talk for the first time with my baseball idol, Fernando Valenzuela, El Toro de Echo Huaquila. He was a coach for Team Mexico. So, you know, I talked to him over there, and it was all fun and games. And, you know, I was all happy getting some quotes for this website that I was writing for. At that moment, I kind of forgot about what the Dodgers.com thing. But then I remember Dodgers.com again in the 2006, when the World Baseball Classic ended, I kept my credentials for, you know, the World Baseball Classic, and those credentials will let you in to any spring training game. Well, Dodgers Angels play spring training games in Anaheim and Dodger Stadium, so my credentials worked for those games. When I drove to Anaheim from home, I didn't have a ticket. All I had was that credential, and I was hoping they would let me in. I didn't know if they were going to, because, you know, this was a barely game, basically, and no more World Baseball Classic. Well, at the entrance, they let me in. I go in. I was all happy. I remember Grady Little was the manager at that time. And there was a big battle for the 26 men on the roster. 25th, it was one of the Ibar brothers.
Oh, yeah.
It was either Willie Ibar or Oscar Robles.
Yep.
I remember those two names.
Mexicano.
Yeah, El Mexicano de Tijuana. And at the end, I remember asking Grady Little, hey, so who's going to be number 25? And he looks at me like, why am I telling you who my number 25 guy is when I have until tomorrow? I'm like, because I want to know. Again, I didn't know how to approach people as a reporter. And so he said, you have to wait like everybody else. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I'm all like full of bravado, acá bien cabrón, yo ahí caminando, no, así como ya me sentía un superstar. Bueno, when I turn around, I see Fernando there. I see Fernando in the dugout, as part of the Spanish broadcast for the Dodgers. So I thought that Fernando would remember me from the classic. He didn't, of course. I mean, who remembers somebody in the middle of all those people? And then I said to Fernando, I said, hey, Fernando, 2006 is going to be 25 years of Fernando Mania. And Fernando, if you know Fernando, he is a very nice guy. But the first impression of him that you're going to get is like, man, this guy is a real a-hole. This guy is a pain in the neck. Why? Because he doesn't let you in his circle, or he doesn't even let you in his bubble right away. You need to earn his trust a little. So again, I've seen him once, maybe twice. So I ask him, excuse me, say, hey, Fernando, can you give me 5 minutes for an interview? He's like, what about? Well, you know, it's 25 years of Fernando Mania, and I would like to see if you want to talk about it. He's like, why would I want to talk about that? I'm like, ah, cabrón. I'm like, no, that's fine. He's like, I don't have time. I'm like, okay. And if you're a reporter, or if you're an aspiring reporter, be ready for this. Be ready for this answer. I don't have time right now. And then you turn around, and the person that said, I don't have time right now, he's just going to be standing there doing nothing. Be ready for that. Be ready for a lot of rejection. I was ready for rejection because I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't care. I was happy to talk to Fernando on the field at Angel Stadium. So when I turn around, Fernando's like, okay, 5 minutos nomás. I'm like, damn, 5 minutos. Órale, Fernando. So we start talking about Fernando Mania, this and that, blah, 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 blah. And then he asked me, where's this going? He's like, oh, this is going to this website. Oh, okay, all right. So at the end, he was a little more friendly with me, and he basically understood that what I was trying to do was, you know, write something nice about him, not write something negative. So I remember writing it, blah, blah, blah. It was not even a long article. It was a short article. And then I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to send this to Jorge, even though he rejected me once. Maybe he'll like this one. Well, when Jorge Martin, aka Poppy, got the article. He calls me back and he's like, hey, Polo, yeah, what's up? No, this is Jorge Martin. Oh, what's up, Jorge? Hey, I read your article. That's pretty good, man. Really? Yeah, but where do you get those quotes from? I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah, all that stuff that Fernando said about Fernando Mania, where do you get it from? I'm like, what do you mean? I talked to him. He's like, you talked to him? Jorge's telling me, you talked to him? I'm like, yeah, I talked to him. And then Jorge tells me something like, look, I've worked with the Dodgers for a few years now. I've talked to Fernando a lot of times, and he doesn't like to talk to me. He doesn't like to give me interviews. He doesn't even, I don't think he likes me. And then I'm like, well, that's your problem. I mean, he did give me those interviews, and I can send you the audio. And what I did, I had a recorder, so I played some of the audio to you on my phone, and you're like, okay, I get it. That's Fernando. Okay, this is yours. And then you said, look, if you send me something like this, more of this, I can publish this stuff on the losdodgers.com website. Of course, I was so happy. And then I remember you said, well, one thing, I don't have money to pay you. and then I'm like, what do you mean you don't have money? I'm like, yeah, we don't have money. We don't have a budget for it. And then I said, how about some tickets? And then you said, okay, we can do that. You know, you send me stuff. I'll give you tickets whenever you want to come to a game. And that's good. I'm like, all right, fantastic. I remember the very first time I asked you for tickets, I didn't know what to expect. I was a custodian. My wife had a job also. I know at that time, my wife, she was home with our kids back then. They were little. Bianca was like 6 and Jacob was like 5 or 7 and 5, 7 and 6. So I was working in the daytime. I was cleaning carpets with my father-in-law. And then in the evening, I was a custodian, and my wife would stay home with the kids until they started going to school and they were a little older so she could go and get a job. And I was fine with that. So I remember the first time I asked for tickets, and I was, you know, I was used to the bleachers or top deck. Once in a while, I will treat myself and get some loach level by the foul pole, which are the cheapest ones on the loach level. And I pick up the tickets, and I just keep walking. I'm like, wow, what is this? Well, my tickets were right behind Dodgers dugout. And, you know, later in life, I learned that the tickets that I was getting for Jorge Martin were the tickets that, you know, the organizations give as a bonus to their employees. So basically, he was giving me his own tickets, which were pretty, pretty damn good tickets. I was so excited, man. It was a Sunday afternoon game against the Angels. Those tickets were at least $100 each. So I said to myself, wow, I'm riding and I'm getting back 4 tickets of $100 each. That's $400. That's a lot of money. So that was my first payment from you. Thanks to that article that I wrote about Fernando, even though you didn't believe me, but thankfully I saved the, I saved the files. And that is part of the beginning of a journey that later took me to Dodger Stadium as a producer, reporter for Dodgers On Demand. And then, you know, working with Vin Scully, with Jaime Jarrín, with Charlie Steiner, with Rick Monday, Pepe Iñiguez, Fernando Valenzuela, meeting some people like Eduardo Ortega, like people that are in baseball forever and ever. And like you said, now, luckily, I life has taken me to a place that I never knew that even existed, Busch Stadium, San Luis Cardinals. I am, like you said, the first ever Spanish voice of the Cardinals. But like you said, it's been a journey, and I'm pretty sure that you want to know how the heck did this custodian, born and raised in Tijuana, Mexico, who didn't speak a word of English before he was, 1920, how the heck did he landed in San Luis, one of the most beautiful and strange places to be involved with baseball?
Well, how important was it to just siguiendo pegándole con ganas, just continuing? Because there were definitely times, you know, even after we got into a good groove and you were contributing regularly to losdodgers.com, you started doing other stuff. You got into you eventually moved into Dodgers On Demand, and when that ended, you kept doing Viva Los Dodgers. What kept you going and following that dream?
You know, Jorge, and this is true. I remember when I first applied for the job with the Dodgers, I didn't know with Dodgers On Demand for Time Warner Cable, and shout out to Tony Kinkela who gave me that chance. And the way I met Tony was pretty weird too, because you know at that time I was already writing for the Dodgers for Dodgers.com, and you as a reporter, as a writer, you gave me a credential to go to the games and talk to players and feel more confident and feel more more on a level of all the great writers that have ever covered baseball and especially the Dodgers, right? Just looking at people, Plaschke, heck, even Dylan Hernandez, who I have a great relationship with now, looking at those guys, the way they conduct themselves, Mark Saxon back then, Tim Brown from Yahoo News, those guys, you know, just looking at them, the way they walk around, the way they approach the players, that was my high school, that was my college, because I didn't go to college to do journalism, communications, or anything like that. My daughter is trying to get into it, and hopefully this next semester she's going to go into CSUN or ASU. She wants to go one of those two. I'm like, hey, CSUN is a lot closer. You just want to go there. it's a lot cheaper for your mom and dad, too. And I didn't have to go through the struggles that she did, to the struggles of a lot of people. I had a different kind of struggle. I didn't have to worry about doing homework, but I had to worry about feeding my family at the same time that I was chasing the dream that I never had. It just, you know, it's a progression, Jorge. You just have to keep going with life, and then life will give you what is for you. If it's not for you, even if you stand in the middle of the train track and the train is coming, if that train is not going to hit you, it's not going to hit you, you know? And if that train is going to hit you, you can be standing 100 miles from that train track, it's going to hit you. If it's for you, it's going to be for you, even if you move. And that's what happened with me. I kept going without even knowing that I was going and going and going. You know, I found myself unemployed after right in January of 2014, after being with Dodgers On Demand for, 6 years, almost 7 years, working with a great group of people with that group and getting to know, getting acquainted and growing a network with media people, thinking that, well, if I don't work with Time Warner Cable anymore, somebody's going to look at me and say, hey, this guy's pretty good, let's hire him. Well, nobody did. You know, luckily, like you said, you know, going there and like I mentioned, getting to know people, getting to talk to people and just being real. I don't mean being an ass kisser. Yo nunca he sido un barbero, and you know that. Yo nunca he sido, I've never been a person who likes to kiss ass to anybody. I'm very respectful of everybody, especially those that are respectful to me. If you're not respectful to me, you know, I'll respect you, but from a side, and I won't even approach you. I won't even try to be acquainted with you. And there's people in that organization still that did see, did notice that I was trying to do and that I was good enough to do different things. And that's why, like you said, after 2014, when I lost my job as with the Dodgers, I found myself having no job, working with my in-laws, cleaning carpets. I even found myself as a telemarketer there for a little bit because, you know, everybody tells me, oh, you have a good voice. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go sell whatever you're selling today, perfume and things like that, right? So one day, Jessica Rosales, another one of the group that now you can find her online and everywhere doing great things with boxing and different things she's done throughout her career. She said, hey, let's go out to lunch. Let's go, everybody. You know, that's that group of Dodgers On Demand. Let's go to lunch. And we invited somebody who is like, he's the adopted child of that group, Ross Yoshida. He still works for the Dodgers, the director of graphic design, if I'm not wrong, and something like that. He's
all a big creative shot. Services. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great, he's great friend.
Yeah, Ross Yoshida. He's big shot. So we went to lunch, you know, and everybody was there: Earl Valdez, David Meadow, David Villarena, all that group from Dodgers On Demand. And after lunch, I was coming home, And then Ross is like, hey, why don't you come to the stadium? Again, this is 2014 after we were all cut from our jobs, you know, laid off. And I'm like, no, you know what? I'm going home. I was feeling bad. I was feeling sorry for myself because I couldn't find a job. And I felt that something that I had, it was for nothing. You know, at one point I even said, I should have just stayed a custodian, man. I would still be working there, good pay, good benefits. And you know, feeling sorry for myself. Everybody does it once in a while. And then Jessica said, yeah, come over. I think at that point she was doing still doing in stadium stuff. And David Llerena still doing stuff with the Dodgers also inside Dodger Vision control room. So they kind of convinced me to go. And then I said, look, I don't have a ticket. And then Jessica said, Polo, everybody knows you. Everybody likes you. If you wave at the guy at the door, he's going to let you in. He doesn't even know you don't work there anymore. And, you know, thankfully, the guy is not there anymore, so I won't get him in trouble. I walked by. He's like, hey, what's up, Polo? What's going on, man? Long time no see you. I'm like, yeah, you know, I've been getting in through the different door. Bullshit, you know, bullshit. There was no different door. So I just walked in, and that's how I went back to Dodger Stadium. And that day, Jorge, you know, I was there with Ross and Jessica, you know, saying hi to everybody, feeling a little sad about not being there. Well, I go into the press box. That's how much people knew me and perhaps liked me. You know, James, which I love James, at the door of the press box. He lets me in. I'm like, hey, can I go in? Oh, yeah, just go in. Don't worry about it. So while I'm walking in the press box, Eric Braverman, who is the director of marketing, I believe, and broadcasting for the Dodgers, he's in a little pickle there because the guy who was doing the stats, Brian Pickering, he was going to take a month off, the month of August. Why? Because he is still, I think, involved with Little League Baseball. Remember that? He was always, in August, he was always gone with Little League Baseball. So they needed somebody to do stats for the Spanish booth, which, by the way, I mean, the way Jaime conducts the broadcast, heck, he can do the game without even watching the game. That's how great El Maestro Jaime Jarrín is. But, you know, they were looking for somebody. And then I told Eric, I'm like, hey, Eric, I'm not doing anything. I can do it if you guys want. And Eric was like, can you? I'm like, yeah, I mean, how hard is it? And then he said, well, let me go ask Jaime. I mean, it took him 3 minutes to go into Jaime's booth and come back. And Jaime is very happy. He said he'll be more than glad to have you with him and in there. At that time, it was Jaime. And I think Pepe Iñiguez was still doing the radio with Jaime before Jorge Jarrín jumped in with Jaime from the TV booth. And that's how I came back to the Dodgers stats for the Spanish broadcast. And on top of that, also Greg Taylor, another guy who still works with the Dodgers, mentioned to me and he recommended me with Shelley Wagner, who's still, I'm not dropping names. I'm just giving people their props and their recognizing them in this crazy story. Shelley Wagner, and she was in charge of everything that has to do with Viva Los Dodgers and promotions and things like that. So that's the day when Greg told Shelley, hey, you know, if you need somebody for Viva Los Dodgers, Polo can do it. She hired me. So from that day on, every Sunday home game, I was doing Viva Los Dodgers 2014 and 2015. So you see, it's a very interesting story that goes from being a custodian, jumping into a phone call with a radio station calling Jorge Martin, the director of publications for the Dodgers. Jorge Martin kind of introducing me to Tony Kinkela without me even knowing who Tony Kinkela was. Then when I applied for Dodgers on Demand, and you know, I made it all the way to the finals. And I remember that exit interview, the last time I talked to Tony Kinkela, and oh my God, I forgot her name. She was the HR lady at Time Warner Cable. I told him, look, I'm like, look, if you find somebody else that you think it's better than me to do this job, just hire him because it's going to be hard for you to find somebody better than me. That's how you can say arrogant I was about knowing that nobody knows, or at that time knew more than I did about the job that was in front of me, staring at my face. And he hired me, and, you know, that's another part of the story where you know, little things here and there that helped me get to where I am. So, you know, like I told you, you know, that lunch at Porto's turned into be here for a month, then do Viva Los Dodgers. Then in 2015, I got hired to do the whole season. But at this time, I was not doing the Spanish booth. I was going to be in the English booth. And for me, it was a challenge because I grew up in Tijuana, Mexico. Spanish all the way through. I've never been to school here in the United States. I'm not saying that proudly. It's just that either I didn't have a chance or I haven't had a chance to do it, but I didn't. So I had to write things for Charlie Steiner, for Rick Mundy, and make sure that I deliver them on time. And everybody is different. Every broadcaster is different. Jaime, Jorge Jarrín. When I say Jaime, we all know it's Jaime Jarrín.
Of course.
El maestro Jaime.
El maestro.
So everybody is different. So to work with Charlie, I learned a lot because Charlie is very old school, but very specific. You know, he's one of those guys that he, once he's in the zone of the game, he doesn't want you to bother him at all. So I had to learn my spots of when do I give him this? When do I give him that? And it's kind of hard sometimes, but with all those things, I learned a lot. A lot that I, you better believe that I put in place now when I'm calling a game for the St. Louis Cardinals. So it's been, you know, it's been a very interesting trek that has teaching me a lot of things throughout, and I'm not done learning. I'm not done learning because I do believe this story is just starting, man. I don't think we're not even in season two of Polo Ascenso's story. I think there's a lot more seasons to come.
Well, tell me about how in 2016, how you found out about the opportunity that the Cardinals were going to add for the first time, which at that point, you know, you think baseball's been around for 120 some years, and the Cardinals, one of the iconic franchises, still didn't have a Spanish radio booth. When you tell me how you found out about that opportunity and kind of how the whole process came out to interview and eventually land the gig.
And don't be afraid to say it, Jorge. I mean, this what I'm about to say, I've lost a lot of acquaintances and followers on Twitter and on Instagram. The St. Louis Cardinals, the winningest franchise in the National League. You can say it. You know, you can say it, Jorge. I mean,
most World Series in the National League. Yes, I'm still mad at Joe Kelly from 2013 for
for Halley Ramirez. Yeah, man.
He cost me a Series ring. I still haven't forgiven him for that.
Yeah, he cost you that ring, man. He cost you at least the World Series ring. So it was 2016, right? Again, I was on and off work, different jobs. Still not. I didn't have a set job. At 2016, I was actually working as PR for a low tier soccer organization here in Ventura, California, the Ventura County Fusion. So I had a job. I had a steady job, but still I was not fulfilling my need. I was not fulfilling my ability and what I thought I could do. But again, it was a job in sports. And growing up in Mexico, I love my football, not soccer, football. And I know that eventually, even though Jorge wants to talk about fantasy football, I don't know much, even though I'm the Mexican guy that doesn't know much about fantasy football, but I've won a couple of leagues. And last year I got to the final in my two leagues. How? I have no idea, but I did it. So I was working with this team and I got a text. I got a text from Eduardo Ortega. As I mentioned his name before, he's been the broadcaster for the Padres. He also did the Giants for a couple of years. And he's basically, like I said, the next Spanish broadcaster to get to Cooperstown. Eventually, he's going to get there. With Eduardo, I have a good relationship because of my brother. My brother used to write for the Padres. He introduced me somehow somewhat to Eduardo Ortega. Eduardo and I have developed a very good relationship. I will never say that he is my friend. I will never say that Jaime Jarrín is my friend because of the level of respect that I have for them. That doesn't mean that you cannot respect your friends, but they are in such a they are such iconic figures that I will hold myself back before I say they are my friends. They are mentors. They are figures of respect and of learningship, if that's even a word that I can use every time that I am in a pickle. So Eduardo sends me a text probably like July of 2016, a text from San Luis, basically telling me, hey, Polo, you know, I'm here in San Luis. He always calls me Polito. Polito, hola, Polito. Hola, ¿qué tal? Polito, ¿cómo estás? Hi, Polito. And if you know Eduardo Ortega, and I know you do, you know that he is always animated. He's always like,
oh, yeah.
He's like the Energizer Bunny. Hola, Polito. Hola. Oh, Polito, Polito. Los azules, los azules. Ah, cuidado, cuidado. That's how he goes about himself. And so he sends me that text and tells me, hey, I'm here having lunch in San Luis, and I just learned that the Cardinals are looking for, this is all in Espanol. El texto es siempre en Espanol. They're looking for a Spanish broadcaster, somebody to do a couple games in September. If you're interested, let me know. I think you're ready. You've been around the game for quite some time. You've done this. You've done that. I did a season in Mexicali. That's a play-by-play. The first time I ever did play-by-play was in the Winter Bowl in Mexicali in 2014, at the end of 2014. Then again, that also came by chance, by me saying something where I probably should have not said it, but I did it, and I was glad that I did. So I replied to Eduardo, and I said, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it, man. Let's do it. Let's go for it. What do I need to do? So he basically said, look, this is the person that you need to talk to. This is the place that you need to email or text. It's all on you now. I leave it on your hands. And at the end, he just said, good luck. Good luck, exclamation point, like saying, órale, cabrón. Si te crees tan chingón como tú dices, órale. Ahí está. Llegale, ¿no? So I did. You know, I got in touch with the person with the number and the email, a guy by the name of Kyle Garcia in San Luis. And I got in touch with Kyle. Kyle calls me back after a few talks to Kyle. I talked to his parents, who were the owners of the radio station. And there was a couple of people came up and said, hey, we want to do this job. So you can say it was a bit of a competition, something that I always embrace. A little competition never hurt me, even if I don't get out on top. And at the end, they hired me. They picked me to do those two games. And it was at the end of September of 2016 when I went to San Luis, talked to the Cardinals. They liked me. They told Kyle Garcia, hey, Kyle, that guy is good. We approve of him to be the first ever broadcaster for the San Luis Cardinals, even though if it was only at that time, it was only two games. Let's do it. So September 28th came. We did two games. My surprise was even bigger when I learned that my co-host, my partner, mi hermano, mi compadre, mi amigo, mi bro in the booth was going to be a former Giant, former Angel, former Toronto Blue Jay, former Texas Ranger, Benji Molina. So, and ever since, man, Benji and I have a great relationship. Those two games were life-changing for me. And here we are, man, 2020, waiting for the season to hopefully get rolling and keep on growing, man. Keep on growing, and it's been great. It was great. Those two games were great. The first game we won it in a walk-off base hit by Yadier Molina, the brother of Benji Molina, and it was crazy for all of us involved that, you know, the signs. And sometimes I tell people, look, I didn't grow up a big religious guy. You know, my mom and dad, our religion was get in the wagon, get my four sisters, myself, my mom and dad, and let's go to my dad's games on Sundays allá en Tijuana. You know, that was our Sunday church. Go to the fields allá en la Mesa de Otay en Tijuana, you know. And I know I do believe there's a God. I do believe there's something bigger than all of us. But I also believe that there's signs. You know, there's signs like in baseball. You know, there's a sign that tells you have to keep going. There's a sign that tells you you need to stop and look somewhere else. And in my life, I've seen a lot of those signs Just like, you know, like calling you and getting to meet you and getting to meet all these other people that eventually have been part of this story. And the sign that day was very simple. You know, the Cardinals were up and the Cardinals were up in the ninth inning, winning by one. The Cincinnati Reds tied the game at three. At the end of the ninth inning, man on first, Matt Carpenter, Yadier Molina comes to bat. He hits a double. Carpenter comes all the way home to score. We go nuts. Yadier Molina celebrates. We celebrate with him. And that was the beginning of you can say, my career as a big league and a big show, un narrador en las grandes ligas, man. And it's crazy, man. It's crazy. All the things that have happened between now and then, they've been nuts. A lot of them, they've been really, really crazy.
Well, speaking of really, really crazy, I think one of your most famous calls was last year during the playoffs. Another Yadier Molina walk-off. I think it was against the Braves.
Uh-huh.
And that one, you became like a Twitter. You became a star on Twitter for a couple days.
You know, if I had a dollar for every time somebody looked at that video that or listened to that call. Right now, I have $150,000 in my bank account. That was crazy, man, to see that call go up and up and up. And you know, like CNN, ESPN, Fox, radio, ESPN radio, a lot of people nationwide picked it up because of the raw emotion. Like I said, I was not trained for this. I don't know how to fake things. If I don't like you, I don't like you. If I like you, I like you. And if I like what I see, I'm going to make sure that you see it, you know, that you see it through my voice. And that's something that I've learned, like, again, you know, listening and working alongside Vin Scully, Jaime Jarrín, all the people that I've mentioned. And that call, I just lost it. You know, it was I didn't know what to say, you know, and if you've been listening for the last 30 minutes or whatever it is that we've been talking, you know that it's hard for me to stay quiet and not know what to say. But it was a game that the Cardinals, we had no business winning because we were not hitting against the Braves. And the Braves were up on the series 2-1, game four. And somehow we tied it. You know, that Yadier Molina hit a little un batacito por arribita de la cabeza de Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman stretched himself up. He couldn't catch it. The ball tips his glove, and then, boom, we tied the game. I think that was like in the sixth or seventh inning. Then in the ninth inning, we are tied, and Colton Wong comes to bat. Somehow, I need to look back because I forgot. I think he hit a triple. I think Colton Wong hits a triple, and there was one out, and Yadier Molina comes to bat. Actually, he was on second base. Somebody put him on third. And then Yadi comes up to bat, you know. And if we know something about Yadier Molina, as much as I used to hate him, and when I say hate, I don't mean hate. And I've told him, believe me, I've told him. We've talked a lot about different situations with Dodgers and Cardinals. I even changed my phone. I had a black phone with a blue cover for forever. And Yadi, every time he see my phone, oh, Dyer Blue, huh? Dyer Blue? Dyer Blue, huh? Hey, look at this guy. Look at him. Mira este polo. Mira este cabrón. Dyer Blue. Este fan de los Dyers. Cuidado con polo. Fan de los Dyers. I'm like, ah, oh, chingao. So what I did, I bought, when I changed my phone, I got a red phone. So the first thing I did when I went to San Luis with my new phone, I showed it to Yadi. I'm like, hey, Yadi, look. Mira, rojo. He's like, doesn't matter. You're still a Dodger fan. I'm like, oh, que la chingada. Pues. I mean, you know, what are we talking about? So Yadi comes up to bat, you know, and like I said, you know, as much as you hate him as an athlete, because he's been killing your team and he's been killing every single team for the last, 14, 15 years now. You love him when he's on your team. He's one of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's like, obviously I'm gonna say a couple of numbers, a couple of names, but everybody in a different level. He's like a Javier Baez, you know, somebody, he's a bravado, yeah. Like somebody who doesn't care. He's a Manny Ramirez. He's a Barry Bonds. You know, somebody that if he's on your team, you love him. If he is not on your team, you're not going to love him. So believe me, I love that guy. And right now, not back in 2010, 11, 12, 13, especially 13 and 11. Yeah. But anyway, so he comes up to bat. He's clutch. High fly ball to Adam Duvall with Colton Wong at third, the fastest guy in our team. You knew it was a matter of time. So Duvall grabs the ball, se queda con la pelota. Colton Wong scores. Everybody goes crazy. And I didn't know what to say. So what I said on air in Spanish, I said, who else? ¿Quién más? ¿Quién más? ¿Quién más? Sino Yadier Marciano Molina. And it was just wild. Benji, his brother, yelling, screaming, like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like going nuts. And we go to Atlanta to game five. And you know, for you, and I'm getting goosebumps telling you what happened. For you to understand the impact that call has had in my life and other people's lives. Once in a while, I'll be, you know, having lunch with Yadi and his family, because he has invited me in his house, something that at the beginning I didn't want to do, because, you know, there's always a line, right? You don't want to be, right. You don't want to be that guy who pretends that he's part of the group. But when the group tells you you are part of this group, what are you going to say? No? Are you going to refuse the invitations or basically say no to a future Hall of Famer in the face of your franchise? And then when he just pulls up his phone and when people comes to his house or friends, hey, listen to this. And what he has, Jorge, he plays the call. Like, he tells people, hey, come and listen to this. And everybody's like, oh, my God, that's a great call. And I get embarrassed. And then and then he tells them, that's him. And they're like, oh, my God, can I have a picture with you? Can I have a picture with you? I mean, last December, I went to Puerto Rico. He invited me to an event he had in Puerto Rico for his foundation, Fundación Cuatro. And in Puerto Rico, man, I'm Puerto Rico, in Puerto Rico. I was walking at a Walmart. I don't even remember what I was going to buy at Walmart in Puerto Rico. And a guy comes up to me. He's like, yo sé tú quién eres. I'm like, ay, cabrón. I'm like, ¿quién soy? I'm thinking, this guy is just thinking I'm somebody else. Am I in trouble? and then I'm like, ¿tú sabes quién soy? You know who I am? He's like, oh, yeah, yo sé tú quién eres. And then, mamá, mira, es él. Y yo, who am I, right? Who the hell this guy thinks I am? And he's like, tú eres Polo, el narrador de los Cardenales. Bro, in Puerto Rico, people telling me, you are that guy. I'm like, yeah, sí soy. Hey, una foto, vamos arriba, tírate la foto, vamos para adelante, mi gente, vamos arriba, Puerto Rico. You know, even my wife tells me, dude, ever since you went back from Puerto Rico, you came back and I don't know who you are. I like Mexican Polo. I mean, nothing against Puerto Rican Polo, but I like Mexican Polo. So that call, man, has changed a lot of things in my life. And, you know, like I said about science and learning about from people. Una vez, Jorge, when I was in Mexicali doing play-by-play, I was in a very strange place, right? Because I was working in Mexico. They don't pay you a lot. At home, I didn't have a job. You know, things were not going the way they were going before I lost my job because of me. See, I beat myself down a lot when it's that time of day, I guess. And at one time, I thought that my family was in love with Polo, the famous guy. You know, Polo, the guy who worked with the Dodgers. I'm talking about 2014 before the Cardinals. I thought I was my kids liked me because of the access that had to the field or to different players. You know, that's what I thought. So when I lost my job, I lost myself. And I almost lost my family because of me thinking that they liked the announcer and not so much the husband, the dad, perhaps even the friend and the father. I was tired, man. I was tired. I was in Mexicali. I didn't want to be there because I needed to figure out things at home. And like I said before, Jorge, I'm not a very religious guy. You know, you wouldn't see me going to church every Sunday. You will see me like, hey, you know, talking to La Virgen, like every Mexican, and things like that, right? Pero ese día, that day, I sat on a corner of my bed in Mexicali, this little dark room that I was renting. And then I said, okay, I don't know who you are. you know that I don't go visit you to your church or whatever. But if you do exist, if you do exist, do me a favor. Send me a sign. Send me a signal to know that what I'm doing here is worth it and that I need to stick with it. And I don't want to be here. I don't want to call these games anymore. I want to go home in the middle of the season and basically drop the opportunity I had to call the games in Mexicali in the winter ball. And like, if you really are out there, I'm going to give you until tomorrow at this time. If I don't get a sign by then, I'm out. I'm gone. That is what I said, Jorge. Okay. That is what I said.
Wow.
Thinking there's not going to be a sign. There's not going to be anything. I was trying to sabotage myself, right? Well, 3 minutes later, 3 minutes, not even five, less than 5 minutes. And I always say three, but it was less than 5 minutes. I get a text from Jaime Jarrín. Okay. I didn't even know at that point that Jaime had my number. A text from Jaime Jarrín, the Spanish announcer for the Dodgers. Again, he's big part of my story. Basically telling me in Spanish, long text, saying, querido Polo, buenos días, ¿cómo está usted? Last night, as you know, I'm a big baseball fan, and right now there's no baseball in the United States. It was in December of 2014, so it was the offseason. And I was, you know, flipping channels here at home in my house here. And, you know, as I'm flipping the channels, I find a baseball game of two teams that, you know, I've heard of them, Águilas de Mexicali, and I forget the other team. A baseball game, and I'm listening, and I'm watching. First I'm watching, he said, then I'm listening. I'm listening to the broadcaster, and I'm listening to his voice, how clean, how clever, how funny, how informative this broadcaster is. A couple of batters go on, and he keeps going about this. He keeps going about that. He is keeping me engaged on the game, even though the game is not exciting. But by listening to him, I am glued to my TV. And then I said, this is all in the text. And then I said to myself, said, Jaime, that voice, esa voz, yo la conozco. Esa voz, yo la conozco. I know that voice. And then the announcer says his name. Jaime tells me on the text. The announcer says, this is Polo Asensio. And Jaime says to himself, Polo, yo lo conozco a Polo. Yo sé quién es Polo. Polo, yo lo conozco. Y me dice Jaime, Polo, no pares. Don't stop. Keep going. Whatever you do, don't stop. Keep going. Whatever you think I can help you with, let me know. I'll be more than happy to help you. This is for you. This is what you were meant to do. So now you tell me, Jorge, ¿qué chingados voy a hacer yo cuando estoy pidiendo una señal? I'm asking for this signal, and I get that text from Jaime Jarrín. Now you tell me if there is something out there listening to me or not.
Well, yeah, hearing from Jaime, that is basically the voice of God coming down anyway.
Right?
That's incredible. That's incredible.
And that is, every time I tell that story, I get goosebumps because of the impact. And at that time, he could have done anything at home back in 14. He could have been out there watering his gardenias, sus plantas, no sé, lavando la Maserati, el Mercedes, whatever he wants to do, you know? But he took the time to send me that text at the time that I was asking for a signal. So I stayed. And again, that is part of this story, because if I don't stay, I guarantee you that Eduardo Ortega does not vouch for me, because at that time he would have said, you know what? He quit in Mexicali when he had a chance. Why am I even going to mention this to that guy?
Man, that's incredible. That's incredible. You're giving me goosebumps, Papi. Oh, my goodness. Ay, mijo. Well, you know, you were talking about, you know, baseball durante el tiempo when there's no baseball. You've got your own little programa right now, the La Vida Baseball with Pólvora, Voz y Diamante.
That is right.
You guys have been having a ball. I've been listening a little bit. It sounds like you guys are having a blast.
You know, Pólvora, Voz y Diamante is the first Spanish, like full-on Spanish show for La Vida Baseball. If you guys don't know what La Vida Baseball is, go to Instagram, go to Twitter. They have what we now have, basically 24 hours nonstop coverage of anything you can think of when it comes down to baseball. Interviews, live interviews on Instagram with any superstar that you can think of, anywhere from Puerto Rico, República Dominicana, Mexico, de todos lados. And our latest show, we're going to have Roberto Ramos. Roberto Ramos, he's a Mexican basically killing right now in the Korean League. So we are connecting with Roberto Ramos in Korea. So if you want to listen to that, go to La Vida Baseball, Pólvora, Voz y Diamante. It's on Facebook, and every week we have thousands of people watching the games. I mean, watching our show. And you know, it all started like everything basically starts in my life, Jorge. Como un chiste, como una plática. Pólvora, Voz y Diamante, estoy yo, Polo Asensio, narrador de Cardenales, alongside Pliego Villarreal. Pliego Villarreal is a very talented bass player for many different bands, but mainly Kinky in Mexico, over 20 years with La Banda Kinky. Another band that he plays with regularly is Becerros, but he's played with Pearl Jam, Red Hot Chili Peppers, I don't know, any Los Tigres del Norte, you know, talking about Raza, Bronco. And with us is Jesse Castillo. Jesse Castillo is a very talented Mexican ball player that had a chance to play in the United States. But back in the day when he was being followed or chased by one team, especially the Atlanta Braves, it was very difficult for a young Mexican ball player to jump the fence and come play in the United States. So he never, as of right now, has played in the United States. But between the three of us, we have a lot of fun. And it's 30, 40 minutes of nonstop, basically baseball bullshit, man. So that's what we're doing right now. And, you know, for now, and even when baseball comes back, we're going to keep on going and trying to have fun, just like you with this podcast and everybody else out there trying to do something different. I think this is something that is going to be there for a while. And like you said, we have a blast. We have a lot of fun.
No, it's awesome. It you could tell the chemistry you guys already have on there, and it's wonderful. And I understand you guys are going to be planning to do back to the Cardenales, back to doing full home games or whatever this season is going to be looking like. I just can't wait to hear your next big call to come out.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's this year, and I don't see why not. And the plan for this year, and again, I tell people, especially people that follow baseball in Mexico and Latin America, con los Dodgers, Padres, Arizona, you know, those teams, the Diamondbacks, are teams that they do the 162 games home and away. And I believe that those are the only three teams that have their Spanish broadcasters travel to every single city the teams go. I know that if there's a 2020 season, and I don't see, again, why not, as we're recording this, we don't know yet when this season is going to start, if it starts. But I did hear that this year nobody's going to travel. No broadcasters are going to travel. Everybody's going to do it from home, just, you know, to avoid any exposure to the virus or whatever. So this season, we were going to do 81 games. The whole 81-game schedule from home, we were scheduled to do it. We had the contract signed and everything. Well, sadly, coronavirus showed up, and that is not going to happen, at least not 81 home games, because I don't think there's going to be 162 games. But whatever home games there is, I believe we're going to be there. And perhaps since nobody's traveling, I mean, why not do every single game, even if it's from a studio at home? And like I said, all those teams that have the Spanish broadcasters do every single game home and away, consider yourself very, very lucky. Appreciate them. Support them. Because, you know, some organizations are still trying to figure out how to do this with the Spanish broadcasts. And that's, I think that's the future. Every single organization needs to do this, because, you know, the more and more we play baseball, the more and more Latinos we watch. And I'm gonna tell you something, Jorge. All my fellow Mexicans, there's a lot of Mexican players right now coming up in the minor league. So in the next 5 years, we're gonna see a lot more Mexican players, very talented. The way of drafting, you can say, from Mexico has changed. So now the young kids, 16, 17 year old kids that never had a chance to even go to the minor leagues or sign with the team, they are signing now and they are getting ready.
That's awesome to hear. I always end up rooting for the Latino, especially the Mexican players. Right. Adrian was, you know, we got close with Adrian so much when we were there together. So there's always that extra, you know, allure, the connection with our gente. So
I love this. Los papis.
Yep, los papis. Well, I wanted to close up. You know, you mentioned, you kind of teased it a little bit. Somehow, even though you're not a big time fantasy football player, you end up winning all the time, or a lot of the time. What's been your secret?
Mira, my secret is very simple. I still, and again, everybody drafts different, right? My secret is very simple. Draft the best guy on the board. Just draft them. Don't get fancy on me. Don't get pretty on me. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go for a sleeper on the third round. Like, bro, Pat Mahomes is sitting there. Why don't you just pick Pat Mahomes? Oh, no, I don't pick quarterbacks until the fifth round. Why? He's going to give you 35 points every week. So that's been my secret, which is no real secret. I mean, I respect everybody who oh, no, first I need to pick my running back and then my wide receivers. I'm like, okay, who's going to throw your wide receiver? You know, in the sixth round, when you go and pick, I'm not even going to say a name because I don't want to offend anybody. But, bro, if Pat Mahomes is sitting there in the fourth round, get him. You know, last year, I don't even know how. I don't even know how, Jorge. I ended up with Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson in one of my leagues.
I
have no idea how I ended up with those two guys. So what did I do? I traded Pat Mahomes, which was the right thing, because I traded him like 2 weeks before he got hurt. So I got Lamar Jackson, and I got a bunch of people from the trade with Pat Mahomes, and I made it to the final. And in the final week, I think Lamar Jackson, I don't even remember who my wide receivers were, to be honest with you. They didn't have a good game, but hey, I made it. I did a second place, and it was a friendly wager. So I got some money because of my way of picking. And then on my, because I only do two leagues. I mean, I try to do only one league, even especially if it's baseball. But for, you know, I just do one league. I don't really have the patience and the time to look at everything. So, but last season I did two leagues in football, and on my other league I also finished second, which it was a miracle, because again, those guys have been doing, I came in late into that league, Jorge, a bunch of friends from Tijuana, and they needed somebody to fill in for somebody who left and he was not going to be able to make it to the draft. They pulled me in from my baseball league. I'm okay, I'll do it. I don't even remember who my quarterback was in that league, but I finished second. Again, they were surprised as I am. And hey, it's simple, man. Like I said, just pick the best guy on the board. And if you end up with too many running backs, somebody's going to draft you. And when people get desperate, they will overpay for your top draft picks, because who doesn't want to have a Pat Mahomes or a Lamar Jackson in their team? When they were sitting there, they didn't pick them. You picked them. Now you get to get two running backs, a running back and a good defense, or a running back and a good kicker. And hey, if you want to pick your kicker first, go for it, man. Don't let anybody judge you. If you want to go for Janikowski, what's the name of the guy who was with the Raiders forever?
Sebastian Janikowski.
Sebas. Yeah. If you want to go get him, man. That guy, well, he used to give you at least 90 points, and that's a lot more than some running backs will give you. So that's my advice. Just pick whoever's best. That's it, Papi.
Well, Papi, when it comes to friends and people I've met in baseball, you know, if I had a draft, I'd be picking you pretty early too. So,
Yeah, hey, like, don't forget, I still owe you a bobblehead. I'm sending you that bobblehead. I need your address. See, when, every time I ask you for your address, you don't want. It's like you think I'm gonna show up for a party or do the Latino thing. You know, like, hey, where's your address? And then all of a sudden, show up unannounced with 17 of my friends and family, and you'll be like, what the hell's this? Hey, we're here for a party. I'm not having a party. You are now, Jorge. So don't worry, man. I'm not gonna show up. I just want to send you a signed Polo Asensio Benji Molina bobblehead. That's all.
Okay. Well, if you do bring 17 of your familia, you know, hey, that's all good. Make sure they subscribe to the podcast and we'll have some. I always feel better every time I talk to you, Polo. And I won't put the address out on the air right now, but I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you off the air. But mi amigo. Un placer. Thank you so much. This has been a blast. This has been a blast. I really appreciate it. You know, that's going to be it for the Familia FFB, this bonus coverage on our podcast. I'll do a little blog post on Polo on our website, familiaffb.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Familia FFB. We'll see you guys out there. Everybody keep taking care, Polo. Thank you again. Otra vez. Gracias.
No, a ti, Jorge. Siempre, ya sabes. Anytime.